Coming up on today's show, we're going to discuss the latest news in the world of Disney, as well as talk about a franchise that is underrepresented in the Disney parks. That's coming up on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 495 of Traveling with the Mouse. Just five more episodes until we reach number 500. Can you believe it, folks? My name is John. I'm your host for this week, and I am joined today by my esteemed colleague, Adam.
What's up, everybody? We probably should develop a plan for 500. What are we going to do?
Yeah, we only got like a month.
We keep building this up and we have nothing planned.
Yeah. It's probably going to be just a another episode, really. We're just going to be like, hey, we made it to 500. Yeah, right. We probably should have quit long ago, but, you know, here we are.
It's 500 and we probably should do something special, but.
Yes.
I don't know.
Maybe we'll have a poll and say what it is.
We say that. Special. And then we never do the poll.
We'll put out an X poll, I guess is what it'd be called now, not a Twitter poll, but an X poll, and see what it is we should do. Because we need you guys to tell us what to do. We can't decide for ourselves. We need you to tell us what to do.
I guess.
All right. Well, how's it going, Adam?
It's going.
It's going. Aren't you going to Disney World?
Yep, this week. The same day that Epic Universe opens.
Yes. So that's what, Thursday, right?
Tomorrow, as the release of this.
Okay, well, yeah. The 22nd's the actual opening day is what I meant.
Mm-hmm. Indeed it is. But are they ready for opening day? I don't know. I'm sure they will.
Yeah, it sure seems like it, from what I've seen lately. Have you watched any of it, by the way? Or have you buried your head in the sand?
Tried to. I've seen a few things here and there. Do we have to talk about Universal?
Yes, we do have to talk about Universal. As a matter of fact, I've changed my mind. This is not going to be an episode about Disney news and Mary Poppins. This is going to be an all Universal special.
Good night, everybody. We got to go.
The pizza place. Yeah. Have you seen anything about that? Because the pizza place seems to be the thing that people are...
Really?
Saying how great the atmosphere is, and then the pizza itself is good. Gosh, I wish I could remember the name of it. I'm going to have to look it up. I'll look it up later, just so we can mention it again. But
okay,
let's jump right into the Disney news, since Adam doesn't want to talk about
this is the
happening Disney thing. Talking. Yes, but you don't want to talk about the happening thing of Epic Universe.
Yeah.
So.
We'll see. Next week, we'll see how it turned out.
Well, I mean, I expect there to be some waits at times, and it's not going to be perfect by any means. When Disneyland opened in 1955, nothing worked.
Yeah. Right.
Just to borrow that line. But anyway, I do expect them to have most things worked out. Doing these previews the way they've done them, like opening it up to the public, has probably been for the better, I think. But... we'll see.
Yeah, you mean the trend that they've both been doing, which is kind of getting a soft opening. It's essentially a soft opening.
Yes, essentially.
What they've kind of done in the past, but it's more public.
I think it's almost like it gets you to train for the big day, so to speak. So yeah. If you're running things as if they were going to be open, right? So,
right. Gives them some good reps, too,
for that. Yeah, something like that.
Agreed.
The employees get some... real life training, experience. So to speak.
Yeah.
What they're going to be doing. So off that topic for now, since you don't want to talk about it.
I don't.
This is kind of a interesting story to start off with. So apparently Bob Iger visited President Trump to show off Disneyland Abu Dhabi plans. Now that headline's a little bit misleading, but anyway. So apparently in the media today, Trump,
that's
today.
According to Trump, right?
Well, I mean, this is says remarks to the media today. He actually said these things.
Right. So,
he spoke from Abu Dhabi and said that plans for the theme park are, quote, incredible, and noted that Bob Iger showed him the plans recently.
Yep.
Let's see. We have American companies. We have Exxon, Oracle, RTX, Qualcomm, and many others. Too many to name. Disney. I see the new theme park is going to be incredible. Bob Iger was in my office the other day, and he was showing it to me. It's going to be incredible. I'm reading this. I'm reading this verbatim, so you could tell who said it.
I thought we were trying to bring jobs back to the U.S.
But anyway, yeah, make Disney great again.
Make Walt Abu Dhabi better again.
I don't know. Make Florida. Make the what is it? The
that's what we want is Disney World to get
right. We want Disney World to be great again. Anyway,
with Mary Poppins attraction, but we'll get to that.
For his part, this is what it says here. Iger's been praising the UAE since the deal was announced. He's calling it the perfect place for a Disney theme park. And the Disney building there was a huge endorsement in quotation marks. But there was a rumor that Iger vetoed the idea of building one in Saudi Arabia, but it doesn't seem to be that way based on the public. I don't know.
Who knows? I'm sure we'll hear more about what actually went down later. I mean, it'll come out at some point.
See, and I don't know if this was rumor or did I just overlook it. Did you hear about them talking about it being an indoor theme park?
I heard that too, right? I've heard all kinds of rumors about this. So I'm like, I don't know what to believe.
Being in the desert. For it to be either indoors or have a lot of shade. I don't know.
Well, none of them, including Universal, has done a great job of including shade in their designs. Like, I don't understand why.
Well,
they haven't done that.
To be fair, when a park first opens, they do plant young trees because they know they will mature. Right.
Right.
I mean, Same thing happened
better.
At the original Magic Kingdom. If you go back and look at footage from 1971, like it looks pretty. Like flat, right. Like you don't have the trees are not very tall all over the place.
Right. So, especially Rivers of America. It was very undergrown.
Yeah.
And of course, Main Street, even until the 90s, it looked like a forest down Main Street. And of course, now they've cut down most of those trees in the hub in particular.
But my point being that it became lush over time, I think it's probably going to be the same way. I mean,
sure, but there's more than just tree shade, though, that you can do, but yeah.
Yeah, and we've always given criticism to Toy Story Land, for instance, and their seeming lack of shade.
Yeah, but it's been how many, 7 years for Toy Story Land, and they still don't have...
sufficient, decent shade, yeah.
Theming-wise, I can understand why, but practically, you got to have some shade.
Right. In Central Florida.
Yeah, it's not just sun, because if it starts raining in Toy Story Land, you've got like a mile hike to get to shade or shelter from the rain.
Yes.
Zero shelter. One other thing. Sorry, I'm ranting about rain now. You can tell Galaxy's Edge was designed for Disneyland as well, because the marketplace has plenty of shade, but when it rains, that area gets soaked. In Florida, and they should have made the Florida one different, but they didn't. The Florida one should have had more shade or shelter from the rain, not just the sun in the marketplace. But anyway, that was rant over.
Opinion.
They should have made Florida different because the climates are very, very different from California to Florida. So
yeah, I mean, there should be some differences, but
yeah.
But even in California, though, they like say, for instance, the teacups, they made almost like a natural shade for it still.
Which they tried to do in Florida when it first opened, right? And then they realized, oh, it rains a lot here and you can't operate the teacups when they're full of water. So
I wonder if they literally puddled up.
I bet they did to some degree. It's like, oh, we need to put a roof on it. It's like, took them like 2 years to realize that.
Right.
Like, all right, guys.
All right, so let's move along. Right. This one I found interesting just because this franchise of Disney's has been absent as far as new episodes go, I think, for quite some time. I can't remember the actual when it went off the air, but Phineas and Ferb are having a meeting coming to Epcot.
June 1st.
Yeah, starting June 1st. Nice. I really don't know what brought that on. Are they bringing the series back, maybe?
Hmm.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of details on it right now, but I just find it interesting. I wonder if they're being watched a pretty good bit on Disney Plus, because I got to be honest, there's a generation.
You're right.
I actually really enjoyed watching the show, believe it or not, even though I was like, when it first came out, I was like in the early 30s. I actually enjoyed watching the show because of some of the humor that, you know, it's one of those cartoon shows where there's certain humor that only the adults watching with the kids are going to guess type deal. I get their sense of humor that they incorporated in the right. show, especially the stuff involving Doofenshmirtz.
Yeah, because this was like 15 years ago when it was on, right? Or somewhere in there.
Yeah, that was when it was first on. I can't remember how long the run lasted right off the top of my head.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it was 2007, four seasons. And it says there's a new season coming June 2025, June 5th.
There you go. So they did decide.
So that's why they decided to add this, I think. So episodes will air on Disney Channel and Disney XD, but then will be added to Disney Plus on the following day. So
okay.
10 new episodes.
I do like the format that Disney has used for their exclusive Disney Plus series recently, or maybe this is the first time. Because with Andor, what they did, instead of doing the whole, like Netflix has done in the past and like released a whole season in one time.
Right. So you binge it.
Yeah. Disney has taken that kind of like the happy medium, right? So with Andor, they've been releasing 3 episodes per week, which I think is about perfect. Because think about it, the average person probably between Tuesday to Tuesday could watch 3 episodes, right? 3-hour long, roughly 45-minute episodes, and with no problem.
Yeah.
I'm sure some people watch all 3 like back to back as soon as it comes out. I get that. But then, there's people that because of life, may spread it out over the course of the week. And now by the time you have more new episodes, you've just caught up in some cases, right? So, yeah.
Indeed.
I think it works out perfect that way. What do you think? You haven't watched it yet, though.
No, I just haven't made the time to do it.
I haven't looked to see just how well it's being received, but I just know personally, I think it's the best series they did since Mando, personally.
I got into this one more than any of the others. I think Ahsoka is the other one I watched a lot of.
Mm-hmm. Ahsoka was good.
Yeah. What was the one? I actually didn't hate Book of Boba Fett. I know people hated on the way it ended, especially, but I enjoyed it for the most part. There was some weird parts here and there, but overall, I thought it was actually pretty decent.
Yeah. I think one of the things about Andor is this refreshing as it's focused solely on story, which was lacking, I think, a lot in the Star Wars universe. Like they always tried to do a little too much to hit the nostalgia button or to put a modern message in there or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, for instance, in the series Andor, there is a lesbian couple. It doesn't feel forced. It feels completely natural. Like you used to see in shows. It doesn't feel like, hey, we got to throw in a lesbian couple, it felt completely organic. It felt completely organic.
The other thing I think that's good about this show in particular is the timeline is probably a timeline that most Star Wars fans, like the current generation or like the ones that grew up with the prequels, but still like the original 2. Like the prequels are like having a resurgence in popularity.
Right.
So I think that because of those are the ones that are coming of age, not really coming of age. They're the ones that are like in their 30s now.
Right.
Watching most of this stuff. And the timeline fits for them, I think.
Right. As well. And yeah, we're seeing the generation that grew up on things like Hannah Montana are coming into their own, right?
Exactly, yeah. 10 years from now, it'll be interesting to see if the sequel trilogy has its fan base that, like the prequels did, you know, where right. they'll come into their 20s and 30s and be the ones that are like, hey, these are actually pretty good. We'll see if that happens. I don't know. I have my doubts.
All right. I know you don't want to hear so much about Epic.
Oh, Lord, we're back on that. We already talked about Epic.
Well, it's, hey, look, it's intertwined. I'm going to hit you with a little Epic every now and then.
All right. If you must.
Harry Potter and the Battle at the Ministry in Epic Universe opened a traditional standby now prior to opening. Don't know if on opening day they're going to have a traditional standby, but they have now opened one at least during
the last previews,
which I know starting tomorrow, that's going to make no difference, I guess, if they change it. But sounds like they're going to try it at least.
Only thing I've heard about this is that the virtual queue doesn't work. So that may be why they did that. Because nobody can get one.
I did see some people that it was pretty rough trying to do the virtual queue, which, to be fair, was pretty rough when Disney first rolled it out, too.
Well, that's what I'm wondering is, like, did the same developer that did Disney's app do Universal's, right. I guess? Because nothing works.
Right. Yeah.
Especially it's virtual queue.
Very interesting, but,
I remember the early days of virtual queue and it would be gone before you even hit the button.
Right.
And then it would be you got a backup boarding group.
Something like that.
Your group 284 and Rise of the Resistance is only averaging like 80 groups a day.
I just remember being there in the November of 2020 and missing out on it twice. During that time period, it was pretty hard to get. I think them adding multiple virtual queues kind of helped with that.
Right.
Over time.
The early days, it was very difficult to get.
Yeah. Rise still has some pretty long lines. I don't know if that's a testament to its popularity or a testament to its reliability. It's one of the two or a combination.
I don't know. I looked at 8:30 p.m. tonight, right before, half an hour before close, and it was 40-minute wait.
Okay. So that's probably...
I'd wait that.
Best times to do it, though.
Yeah, because by then, the people who had lightning lanes have probably already done it by then, so the lightning lane will be very few.
I mean, the group of people that say, skip Fantasmic, so while people are lining up for that, it's a perfect time to get rides in.
Yeah.
So we have there was a first look here at The Little Mermaid, a musical adventure, I guess the new one, The Marquee.
Yeah, I've seen some videos posted about when Jodie Benson was there. I saw that. Uh-huh. I saw some of those. She was like, oh, it's great. But I mean, you're supposed to say that on an official Disney video.
Well, I mean, it's a nice, fresh look to the outside. That's for sure.
You're not going to be like, this sucks. Don't come see it. Go to Epic Universe instead.
No, that's what I'm supposed to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think I would give this a look. I don't know when I'm going to give it a look, but I would give this a look.
Well, let's see. It's going to open.
It opens the 27th, so you're not going to be there. When's the next time you're going to be there?
I will be there on the 27th, but we're not planning on going to Hollywood Studios that day, so.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Maybe you should change your plans.
For some reason, at one point I thought they were opening the same day as Epic because we were making jokes about that, but I guess not.
Anyway, annual pass holder discount dates, ticket prices have been revealed for the 2025 Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
Yeah, but what is scary is the prices going up.
Well, I was going to say, this is... Hold your breath here. It says annual pass holders are offered a $10 discount on special event tickets, including Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. So we went up 20 to give you 10. No, wait. Is that pretty much how it
was? Kind of, yeah. I mean, that's basically it.
So at the, what is it? The August, like for example, the August 15th date, they're $149
for an adult. Everyone buys the first one always sells out.
basically, the annual pass holder is getting it at the child price, pretty much.
Right. Essentially.
So if you have a child that's an annual pass holder, you really save nothing. That's for the event. Just going to the event with you. Because yeah. that's exactly what this is. They're giving you the child price for an annual pass right. holder. And if you're if you have a child in your group that's an annual pass holder, there was no savings. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Because they don't have, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, for the top tier, which is the one you have, right? What's it called again? It's called Incredi Pass. Isn't it the same price for all parties, no matter the age?
Incorrect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
So yeah. They essentially got no discounts for being an annual pass holder.
Right.
Did you plan on going to Not So Scary?
I haven't in several years, honestly. So I don't know that I will.
It's been a little bit since I have too. And I just, every year whenever they show new things, like, you know, the vloggers and everything, I don't think it's enough to justify the cost ever.
Yeah.
You just have to go. I mean, unless you're interested in just like getting like massive amounts of candy, I guess. I mean, but.
Right. And then what, sell it to make your, try to get your money back? I don't know.
I guess you could do that. It just like, doesn't, I don't know. I'm not finding it that appealing lately. I mean, that's just me. Yeah,
not at the prices, because I remember when it was $80 or $75 for.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember it was definitely under 100 for sure.
Yeah. And now 119 is the lowest, but that's only two dates. The earliest, well, the after the first one, the next.
And there's so many dates now. It's technically not an exclusive event, let's be honest.
Right.
Because they sell more tickets per event than they used to, and they have more events. There's nothing exclusive about it.
So,
well, I guess it's exclusive in what some of the offerings, maybe that's what it, compared to like the regular in the day. I guess you could call that exclusive, but.
Right. So now I wonder the Christmas party, because it was always more expensive because there were less events overall.
Yeah.
I wonder that last Christmas party is going to be like $275 or $300. What, $299? Like, what are we up to?
I don't know. All I know is I can't really see me going to either in the foreseeable future. But
that's, yeah, just, I don't know. The Christmas party would be my favorite just because of the vibe.
I would like, agree. But, I would tend to agree. I do like it a little better.
We didn't grow up on Halloween so much, so Halloween's not my holiday. Christmas has always been my, as Ernest P. Warren would say.
I will say is when it comes to the cruise line, I have actually done both the Halloween decorated cruise and the Christmas, the very maritime.
Yeah.
And I honestly think I liked the Christmas themed one better than the Halloween themed one.
Yeah, that just may be, though, that we love Christmas more than Halloween. But
maybe. But, I mean, they had things like a gingerbread building, you know, like as far as a craft or something like one time, gingerbread house. I don't remember them having a particular, like, I don't know, like build a witch's broom or something during Halloween. I don't remember them having that. So I felt like it was, there was more stuff that it felt funner from, you know, in my opinion, on the.
I see.
Doing the very merry time cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Epcot expands. There's a pilot. If you haven't seen, we haven't talked about this yet. The solar powered smart trash cans ahead of a possible park wide rollout. Have you seen these at all?
I've actually seen these at a Chick-fil-A, believe it or not.
Oh, really? Chick-fil-A where?
It was in Nashville, actually.
Nashville, oh, okay. Tennessee.
I was there a few weeks ago, and yeah, you had to like, I can't remember if you waved in front of it or something and it would open. I can't remember how it worked now, but it was very odd. And then it would like make a bunch of noise when it did whatever it did to the garbage.
Well, I guess at Epcot, it's interesting that they would do it there because that's kind of like a food and wine table.
Yeah, I know, right?
First can is. So I'm wondering if you try to use these as a table, will it open or something? Or if you're standing there in front of it.
Looks like it has a foot pedal on that one. It's not a, like an automatic open and close thing. It looks like you push it down on it with your foot.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It looks like it's tall enough that it would be even more and wider, so it'd be even better table for food and wine.
Yeah.
It's flat.
Although it does, is it flat? I don't know.
Well, it has that little like roof in the middle. It's almost like a peak in the middle of it. But right. I think it would work.
As long as you could balance your drink on it.
Maybe they're trying to discourage people from using them as tables by putting that curve in it.
Put more tables out.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So it says Communicore Hall is now closed for a transformation to Goofy Core, whatever.
No.
Has people really even thought, has anyone even really talked about this in a while? I mean,
only that it's not ever really been that great, except what was the one time was it Festival of the Arts? They kind of liked what they did to it then.
Maybe just marginally. I think it was after someone complained though that they made it better. Right. So apparently Goofy Core is an immersive experience where guests can dance and play along with Goofy. So it's essentially a dance party with Goofy, it sounds like.
So they're just going to add some lights and a dance floor instead of all the tables and chairs.
I guess.
And that's it.
It's like they created this spot and they like want to do something with it so badly, but it's almost like they don't know what they want to do with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was sold as like, a rotating festival center kind of thing. Like it would be themed to whatever was going on. And then they're just like trying to figure out what to do in there.
Right.
So a goofy dance party is what they came up with for the summer,
right.
I guess. While there's Diet Epcot until Food and Wine opens.
I suppose.
Which is not until the end of July now, or early August, whatever it is, Food and Wine. So,
yep. I know earlier I kind of mentioned it, but it's called Pizza Moon, by the way, is the Epic Universe restaurant that apparently is getting a lot of talk.
Okay.
One person here stated, it says, Pizza Moon has the character of an old dark ride in the best possible way. So it's kind of the way it's decorated, so to speak.
Right.
It kind of reminds you of a classic dark ride, the way it's decorated. And apparently the pizza is quite good. So
I see a pizza with potato chips on it. So
there's potato chips on it.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Looks amazing to me.
That sounds like that's right up your alley.
So I see this, some pictures of the theming. Like, okay. Like a spaceship crashed. It actually does. Yeah, I see what you mean about a dark ride. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like an old school kind of.
It apparently gets a good... Like people find it appealing.
Interesting. It has the moon with a slice of pizza in its eye instead of like the spaceship.
The moon. When the pizza hits your eye, instead of the moon hits your eye, like a big pizza pie.
Yeah.
Right. To kind of follow that up, tomorrow, Epic Universe will not cannibalize Walt Disney visitation.
We'll find out.
I feel like they've had to say this more often this time around. I'm just saying.
Yeah, they keep tripling down on this statement. Yeah,
they feel like the recent Q2 earnings suggests that it's good news, but I don't know if that necessarily means it's good news for Walt Disney World. They claim that bookings are strong for the rest of the year, but as you well know, a lot of people will book just so they have like a placeholder, right? And then may end up changing stuff. I've never just like totally canceled. I have changed things. Like I've changed hotels, obviously. But it's hard to say. They claim the bookings are strong, but that doesn't mean that they're as strong as they should be, we'll say. So I don't know. Hugh Johnston says that bookings are up year over year. He said in Q3 bookings are up 4%. In Q4 they're up 7%. So I guess what they have booking for at the end of the year is good. So
is that his real name?
What? Hugh Johnston? Yes. Yes, it is, actually. Hugh Johnston.
If you say it fast, though, it sounds like you're saying, never mind.
Yes, I get what you meant. But that is his real name.
Okay.
All right. I think that's kind of enough for the news for this week. We've kind of covered some of the highlights here. Oh, one thing I did forget to mention, I think, well, we talked about it a little bit last week about how they're going to have the Barker Bird show up in the beak in the barrel is what it's supposed to be, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we talked about it. because I joked she was going to be the DJ.
Yeah, something I was, we may have mentioned a long time ago whenever Trader Sam's opened, but one thing that I didn't, or if I realized that I forgot that they, like a goddess or whatever in there that's animated inside Trader Sam's.
Oh, Calypso or something.
Is that who that's supposed to be? Well, anyway, she's the same animatronic and figure that was in the Tiki Room under new management that was used in that show.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, it's the exact same figure. I actually discovered that on the most recent, one of the most recent TPM vids videos. So that's where I got that information from. They also let us know where Little Red is now. Remember Little Red from the
from
the Safari? The
Safari. Mm-hmm.
He's apparently in the, there's like a cast member store that's exclusive to cast members that he's actually on display in there. He's actually got a place in there, Little Red does. So.
Didn't they at one point have a dead, like his mom, a dead animatronic orphan that,
I don't ever remember seeing that.
I think they removed it before it opened, but
I remember we ended the show on a high speed chase.
Yes, I do remember that.
There was someone at the end right there, like holding a weapon.
Yeah.
Like they got the poachers, I guess.
Right. They took care of them.
It's something like that because you don't see the poachers. Like they arrested them. Yeah.
Yes. I do remember that going really fast through the area, which is now where the base camp is or whatever, the goats or whatever.
Yeah, in that area. And it seems like that's on the left side. I remember it being on the right side where we saw Little Red, though.
Yeah, I think it was on the right.
So they'd rearranged something somehow in that area. So,
Right.
Yeah, I always look to see if I can remember in my mind where they were because it's kind of like it feels totally different there now compared to what it once did.
And the bridge that collapsed or fake collapsed or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, the last time we went over that, they didn't do that.
Yeah, they stopped doing that a long time ago. But
yeah, well, see, I thought they still did it after they changed the ending. But
I don't know when they stopped it, but they stopped it.
So let's move on to the topic. I think you have most of the information on this now, but I have some of it. We actually just thought about this. This just kind of came out of the blue. I was actually reminded of it after watching a post from our friends from Parkeology. They like to talk about things.
Indeed.
And they brought it to my attention, and I was like, yeah, you know, in this day and age, how Disney bases a lot of the stuff they do in parks off of IP that's successful.
Yeah.
Like back in 1964,
mm-hmm.
Mary Poppins, which, as far as I can tell, arguably the most successful live action film that Disney ever did, right?
Right.
It grossed $103 million, which today would be equivalent to $900 million in 2025. Yeah. It won five Oscars, one for Best Actress, one for Song, one for Score, one for Visual Effects, one for Editing, out of 13 nominations that it received.
Right. Yeah, to get nominated for Best Picture, too. I think that was his first and only Best Picture nomination, too, wasn't it? Walt Disney's?
Yeah, there you go. So, and I did lose the Best Picture. I don't remember who, too.
Yeah.
Still, it won five Oscars.
Yeah. So, I mean,
arguably his
crowning achievement, for sure.
Right. Walt. There you go. And yet, here it is. It was out in 1964. Walt's still alive.
Yeah. Not much longer.
They don't even make any plans to bring the presents to Disneyland or even the Florida project and Disney World. They don't make plans to put her there in any way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, pretty much the only time we got to see Mary Poppins featured in an attraction was in the Great Movie Ride, unless I'm missing something.
Yeah,
I think that's pretty much it.
The music, like Chim Chim Cheree, is in the Carousel with Prince Regal.
This Prince is true. Trump, yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. It's incorporated there. But for a film that had the success that it did,
Right. It needs more than that, right? The Jolly Holiday Bakery at Disney. Right.
And isn't there a little bit, there's a little bit of Mary Poppins incorporated over at Grand Floridian.
Yes, and she used to be, she's not anymore, right?
Right.
Is she still? She used to be part of 1900 Park Fair.
Yeah, they switched it up, so.
I don't think she's there at the moment, is she? I know Tiana's there now with...
When it like, it was a very weird mixture.
Yeah.
Like, did they have Aladdin? Or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway. So there's not as much as there should have been. Of course, she's always included in parades and stuff. Like, it's either some of the, like, holiday, like, either Halloween or Christmas party parades, Bert shows up. And sometimes their character meets Bert and Mary Poppins, too, at more rare events. But other than that, yeah, it's not a huge presence.
Right. So. Now, we did have the talk about putting in more recent years, an attraction over in the UK pavilion that's Mary Poppins themed. So that would be one idea, but I think you've kind of run a couple of things through AI, ideas. So why don't you just enlighten us with what you've come up with?
So I think the real reason why it probably never got developed as an attraction is Walt died in 66, and if there was any plans, they probably shelved them, or, you know, it was that what would Walt do era. We don't know what to do after that, and then one thing led to another. And my assumption is Eisner, when he took over, probably thought, well, we should include Mary Poppins when he was developing MGM Studios or the Great Movie Ride in particular. Or maybe it was the Imagineers that came up with that.
I feel like it was an obvious choice for the Great Movie Ride for all the reasons I just mentioned.
Right. Yeah, because it was Disney's most successful film up to that point, even.
Right. If anything, it should have had a bigger role in that.
Did Roger Rabbit make more money than Mary Poppins?
No, but Roger Rabbit was the movie at the time that the park opened. So that's why his presence was heavy there at that point.
Yes. Yeah. Cause it was something to promote that was current. Yeah.
Right. I think the promoting the now stuff actually started with Eisner. That's when I think that started about.
Yeah.
And then Bob Iger took it to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did ask AI this. I was like, okay, if Walt had developed an attraction for Mary Poppins, what would it have been like? Like, what do you think it would have been? And what it came up with is kind of like, yeah, okay, not what I would choose. So we can talk about what this came up with. And then I think they would have done something better than this. So it says the attraction name could have been Mary Poppins Jolly Holiday Carousel Theater.
Carousel Theater?
A rotating theater show with each act rotating through magical scenes from the film. So the first would be Cherry Tree Lane. The second would be going into the chalk painting, which would be more animated. So there would be like a screen at some point. You would look like you would go into a cartoon. And then the penguin dance and fox hunt. And then the chimney sweep finale with the rooftop stepping in time. It says Walt was obsessed with Mary Poppins and the theatrical magic of the movie. This ride could have been Carousel of Progress meets Fantasyland Musical Review with an omni-mover finale on rooftops. Plus he had the tech on hand.
Yeah.
So it's like Carousel of Progress meets an omni-mover. I don't know how that would work, but... Okay.
I don't quite get that, especially at the time frame they were talking about.
Yeah. Now, I could see an Omni Mover, like a dark ride, being put somewhere, but Disneyland
wouldn't have
room for that, would it?
That was probably the original thought, was to do a dark ride, because that would be, that would fall in line with what they had done at that point, right?
Right. But where would it have gone at Disneyland if it was trying to... They would have developed it maybe for Disneyland, you would think like Fantasyland.
Yes, but not likely really there were. It's not likely they were ready to replace anything yet, right? I don't think so at that point.
Unless they added something back where Toontown is now, like if they expanded earlier.
Well, you know what?
Because they probably would have had more room. Let's think about what was in the works when Walt did pass, right? There was two attractions that went to Disneyland that
were in the works. And Pirates.
Well, I was going to say Pirates and Haunted Mansion was actually already conceived, right?
Well, yeah, it was. Yeah, they actually had the building there forever. Like the mansion part was there way before the ride was built. But the Small World opened. I think that was like the last ride that Walt actually opened, right? Small World. That was
probably
1956.
Yeah,
when it opened, maybe beside Small World, you could have put Mary Poppins. I don't know. There was potentially room back there.
Well, they obviously had the land because they added stuff without replacing anything later, right? So they had a place for it to go.
Yeah.
Now, did they have the funds at the time to do another attraction based on everything they were already had in the works? That might have been the issue.
Yeah. Especially with the buying up the land and then starting Disney World construction. Yes. That's probably another reason why it never happened.
But if you think about it, Disney World, when it opened, is only 7 years removed from the release of the film.
Yeah.
So they could have made space for it in Walt Disney World if they had wanted to an opening day.
That's the perfect segue into my next thought, which was if they had built it for Magic Kingdom's early, either opening day or early 70s, and developed it specifically for Magic Kingdom. And this is what it came up with. Mary Poppins Flying Umbrella Ride.
Flying Umbrella? What do you do in this ride?
It's a suspended dark ride like Peter Pan, but upgraded. You board your own umbrella vehicle and fly over Cherry Tree Lane. So essentially, it picked a popular attraction and just threw Mary Poppins on top of it, like Carousel
kind of Progress.
And then now.
But in Mary Poppins, she only really flies in the beginning and the end, mostly, right?
Well, it says you would fly over Cherry Tree Lane in the animated countryside and the rooftops of London. So it says you're gently bouncing umbrella motion on the vehicle, I guess. The black light sets and projections. Could you do that back then? I guess. Audio of...
That's what Pan uses.
Yeah, the black lighting, but the projections, like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Why it fits. So it says the early Walt Disney World team loved duplicating and scaling Disneyland ideas. This would have been a spiritual cousin to Peter Pan's fight. So I think they're saying instead of building Peter Pan at Disney World, you would build...
There. Yeah, I could see that being a possibility. They weren't going to originally build Pirates, right? So,
right. I think instead of a flying umbrella, it would make more sense to be like the carousel, like vehicle. But then I guess everyone would have to have their own carousel horse, like in the movie when they're in the animated part.
Well, it's funny you should mention that because with today's technology, I'm thinking they could probably develop an attraction that involves like jumping into the painting, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe at some point.
Yeah. Like
then maybe at some point you actually do get on a carousel like horse, or maybe your vehicle looks like it is, or something like that, or something, you know, all the kind of stuff you can do nowadays. So
I'm curious if it gets to today's era, which I asked it to do as well, as if it's like Runaway Railway, but Mary Poppins.
Well, you know,
that's essentially what it is. You're going into a cartoon world.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm talking just, that's just one aspect, really, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Maybe you could do a Mary Poppins ride in which that's just one part of the ride, jumping into the painting.
Yeah. Okay, so now the Eisner era, the 80s, late 80s or early 90s, at MGM Studios, if they decided to give Mary Poppins its own attraction instead of just including it in Great Movie Ride. So, oh God, the attraction name is the Supercalifragilistic Soundstage Spectacular. So it says it's a hybrid live show plus ride plus film set walkthrough.
I see. Okay.
It's a Supercalifragilistic Soundstage Spectacular. So the concept is you enter a live taping of a new Mary Poppins production. You walk through the behind-the-scenes sets that become real, then board a trackless ride vehicle, which they didn't have back then, that goes into the chalk painting, ending with a rooftop dance umbrella in a rotating theater. We're doing this again. And it says, Aizhar loved mixing Hollywood meta, big theatrical sets, and studio-themed immersion. Think Indiana Jones, epic stunt spectacular, meets Muppet Vision, meets Great Movie Ride. But all Mary Poppins.
Okay.
I don't know about that. But
here's an interesting concept. What if, like we were talking about earlier about jumping in the painting?
Yeah.
What if that's kind of like the pre-show, similar to
Runaway Railway?
Runaway, yes. Like you jump in the painting.
Right.
Then, as you recall, what they do in the inside the painting is they board a actual carousel. Like they get on a real carousel. Like you start out by getting on these vehicles. This looks like a real carousel. And then it, you know, it through
departs
the floor or whatever, like you jump off the track, so to speak, like it's moving up and down, just like a horse does. And you're riding this horse through some of the things that they did, like chasing the fox and all that good stuff. You find yourself in a horse race.
That would be cool. I wonder, though, because it's such an individual thing for kids. Right. I guess you could have kids ride with
an adult. You could modify it. I'm not talking about doing actual. Yeah, you can modify it to be a vehicle that holds, like, I don't know, 3 or 4.
I guess. Or I guess you could do some individual horses, and then, like, every carousel has, like, the sleigh or something that multiple, you know what I mean?
Well, I think that they make it look like a horse, sort of, but yet it's a ride vehicle that, you know, 2 or 3 people can ride in. Sort of like a Dumbo, maybe?
Or maybe it's a mixture, because the movie had a carousel with horses, but the ride could have some of that, but then other.
I think there's a way to make it look sort of like that. Although an individual one would be cool too. That would be neat.
Right. That would be awesome. Because
that's very similar. If you think about it, that's very similar to Flight of Passage, right? You're on your own.
Wouldn't that be cool though, if it starts out as like a normal carousel and you go in
circles?
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then you jump off the track.
Right. But you had your own individual horse still? That would be awesome.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
But, of course, you have to accommodate other types of guests, right? And kids
can't ride by themselves. That's the only downside.
Right. The idea of it would be really awesome. I would love that.
So, well, I mean, there are other theme park attractions that exist that, have almost like a single thing, but that one child can ride with them type deal.
Yeah. You have like a bigger saddle where the kid could sit in front of you or something,
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So kind of like Pteranodon Flyers over at Islands of Adventure. You pretty much have to have a kid to be able to ride that.
Right. Or so, even like Astro Orbiter or something, you could get into, or maybe like some kind of vehicle that more than one person could fit in.
Right, so Astro Orbiter is a good example. It only fits like 2 people, right?
But you could be front to back, I guess. You could be front to back.
Right. If you have the kid, the kid could be sitting like in front of you.
Yeah.
Like you would do if you were riding a horse with a child. Right?
You'd have to have restraints, obviously, but so you wouldn't fall off of it.
But you could do a similar to how you do a regular carousel. Similar.
Hmm.
But it's a lot easier to make 2 seats front to back with restraints than it would be multiple seats on one, if that makes sense. Yeah.
I would love that. All right. Well, here's a 90s version. If this was a Disney Renaissance version of a ride, Mary Poppins Return to the Realm of Imagination.
Okay.
It says a 4D motion simulator and projection dome. So it says, a new Banks child discovers Mary's magical world via a journal in the attic. Mary returns and takes you through different worlds. Whimsical clouds, musical gardens, a surreal animated dreamscape with talking animals. So it says, think Honey, I Shrunk the Audience or Alien Encounter. The ride would have emphasized emotional storytelling, CGI visuals, and big orchestral moments. None of that really sounds like it could have happened. So
see, you could kind of mix it up to be, look, this that I'm thinking could be similar to like Runaway, could be similar type thing because it incorporates screens,
right?
But it also incorporates real, you know, real scenery, I guess. So you could do something similar to that for the horse ride, for the carousel ride, in the painting.
It would be interesting if it was almost like an Omnimover where everyone's on a horse, but you're kind of in a vehicle still, but you're on your own horse. I don't know how that would work. You start in a circle and then you jump in. It'd be interesting.
See, the whole carousel going around thing actually could be a similar concept to like Journey of Imagination used to be, because you know you rode around in that one scene, you still kept moving side to side for the Dreamfinder scene,
right? Yeah,
eventually the track, you know, it opens up, it kind of breaks off to you go out through the ride, and then it, you know, it's like the next. I think it held like three different like sets of vehicles before it released it onto the track, right? So
yeah.
It was something like that. They just kept going around in a circle, so to speak, until you made until you exited to the rest of the ride.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
It could be a really fun attraction.
I wonder if anybody's thought of that idea before.
I'd be wondering.
I feel like they've listened to me and stolen an idea already once. What was it? It was something not too long ago.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It was the Monsters
coaster
that they're going to do. Because I know, again, we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
But then again, who wouldn't have thought of an idea like that? I mean, surely somebody had to have thought the same idea.
Of course, yeah. It's too, especially when you first see the movie, you think, oh, man, that would be a cool ride.
Like I've always thought, it's probably not all that relevant now. But then again, neither is Monsters. So sure, why not? We could do it. Have a thrill ride based on the escape scene from the Cave of Wonders from Aladdin, you know,
yes,
kind of throw it based like riding the carpet. I always thought that would be neat to make it coaster-esque. A coaster.
That would be a fun.
It actually could be, in this day and age, it could be a dark ride slash coaster, kind of like you do with some of the stuff that
Mine Train or Slinky Dog does.
Yeah. Well, Slinky Dog's more of a coaster. It's not really a dark ride.
Well, no, but I mean, there's elements in there that
similar to Mine Train. Mine Train has that one little part that's dark ride.
In the cave.
And the rest of it's coaster.
It could be an indoor coaster.
Or kind of like the Mummy ride over at Universal, how it starts out a dark ride and then at the end it turns into a, like it has a coaster section to it at the end of it.
Okay. I'm going into the Iger era. So I said, if assuming Iger took over and decided we're going to do all the successful IPs, so let's do a Mary Poppins ride. This would
didn't he do that? No.
Well, not with Mary Poppins. This would be his mid 2000s, mid to late 2000s. So it says the attraction would be called Mary Poppins, A Practically Perfect Adventure.
A Practically Perfect Adventure.
I think, though, again, this is before Trackless, but it says Sphinx Ratatouille style, which that was not the era I'm talking about. But anyway.
Well, it's not really before Trackless, because if you recall, in Japan, Pooh's Honey Hunt, wasn't it?
That's true.
That was like 2001.
So it could have, Okay, so it could have.
It just hadn't come to the States at this point.
Well, I guess technically Tower of Terror is a Trackless ride. Part of it, right?
You mean the part that moves it out? Yeah.
Yeah. It's technically trackless. But anyway, so it says there's a shifting nursery, whatever that means, a 2D animated royal. Oh, is this Mary Poppins Returns? An upside down tea party, a rooftop
sounds
race
like
with Jack, it says, soaring finale over Big Ben. It uses Iger's eyepiece strategy plus new film release. But that would have, when did Mary Poppins Returns? That was like 2018,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like way after the era I'm talking about, but all right. And then I said, if today they decided to build one, the one they call is Mary Poppins Magic Walk, an interactive walkthrough plus light ride plus AR enhancements. You're guided by Mary's talking umbrella through Cherry Tree Lane. Each room or door leads to a different immersive world, like a musical sidewalk that animates with every step, an AR chimney sweep challenge, a projection dome that transforms when you spin a magical top, a carousel finale where your horse breaks free and gallops through London at night, motion platform ride.
So that's sort of like what I said.
So it says, think Smuggler's Run meets Galaxy's Edge, Datapad meets Play Pavilion with a British accent.
Okay. You know, this is something I haven't thought about, but maybe one of the reasons why they didn't do anything attraction-wise might have to some insight as to why from the movie Saving Mr. Banks, because of how reluctant Mrs. Travers
was to the any of what they did, yeah.
Right. So just think how reluctant she might have been for an attraction. Maybe Walt's like, I ain't going through that again.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, though, did you need her approval for an attraction? I don't know. Maybe.
Given that they Disney-fied Mary Poppins as it was, you may not would have. No. Maybe he wanted to, or maybe, I don't know. The movie Saving Mr. Banks at least suggests that she came around, but I think in real life, I don't think she came around as much as the movie suggests from what I've read. So maybe that's the key there.
Right. So she did finally like let it happen, but it was a fight.
Yes.
All right. So where would this, I think my favorite out of what we went through was probably an MGM Studios attraction rather than something that would have been built in the 60s. I think it would have been probably changed by now or demolished.
If they had done it when the studio
was open. Unless it was a classic, you know.
Right.
Unless it turned into a classic. But
it makes you wonder that if they had decided to do like the great Disney movie ride, if it would have been gone by now instead of just the great movie ride.
Yeah.
Because some of the films featured in there are truly great movies, but some of them were pretty new. I mean, Raiders, for instance, was only 5 years old at the time that it was the park opened. So they were trying to utilize.
8 years, wasn't it?
Oh, my bad. Yeah, it was 81. So, yeah, it was 8 years.
Still, that was pretty recent for what they were doing.
There was an Alien sequel that had been out only 3 years prior to the park open, but they actually did the original one. But it's still, the original Alien was only 10 years old at the time the park
Open.
So a lot of these things that seemed like they were pretty old were not that old.
Yeah.
That they were using.
Of course, movies in general had only really been out for like 80 years at that point.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, that's still a large catalog to pull from, but.
Yeah. Casablanca would have only been like 50 years old at that point. Right.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, they included a lot of good ones, but there was plenty more they could have, but I guess. Was it mostly either MGM or Disney owned?
Right. It had to be one of the two, pretty much.
Yeah.
And there was the Lucas tie-in, which is why they were able to get the Raiders.
Right.
Wonder why they didn't do Star Wars in there at all. I guess because they already had Star Wars featured otherwise. But they already had an indie stunt show, so.
Yeah. What scene from Star Wars would have been on Great Movie Ride? That would be interesting to think about. Because you would want original Star Wars, right, most likely.
Yeah, probably the original one. For some reason in my mind, I was thinking the scene with the lightsaber battle with Obi-Wan and Vader having something like that. That would be kind of cool.
It could be interesting, yeah. If you were like watching, maybe like have the Falcon in there and then have them like shooting it, like have Luke laying on there too.
Now that Disney has solely the rights, I mean, I don't understand why they don't really just try to capitalize on the original films and make like even a dark ride involving the original films. I don't know why they didn't think about doing that.
Yeah, they should do something, right?
They could even incorporate the original trilogy all in one ride if you wanted to. You could take, you know, get the gist like the of each film
story. Mm-hmm. That would be interesting. I think, too, I was thinking the trash compactor scene might be a good one for a great movie ride.
Yeah. There you would have been.
Even with the walls, like, closing in on them kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine, though, if they could figure out with the technology they have now, how they could do just, you know, how like in the original Star Tours, how they had you do the trench, the Death Star trench scene. Can you imagine what they could do now with the modern technology doing the...
Oh, yeah.
Doing that scene.
Yeah.
How real they could make it look.
Yeah. Can you imagine like a smuggler's run where you're doing the trench run? But
Oh, yeah. Something like that.
Of course, the way that you have to pilot it, it would be a disaster.
Possibly.
Yeah. But anyway.
Didn't they have some kind of a way that they had you on the Star Cruiser? Didn't they have the technology or where they had you like use your lightsaber against like remotes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
So why can't they bring that to the Galaxy's Edge somehow in some way?
I mean, I don't know why that would make sense. Yeah.
That would make sense, right?
And they obviously need a restaurant. They needed to bring the restaurant somewhere to Galaxy's Edge because that would be a very popular restaurant. You could charge a ton for the entertainment part, like a character meal type price, and people would pay it. Mm-hmm.
Like Galaxy's Edge is reaching that point where it needs a little life breathed into it, you know, starting to reach.
It's kind of like Pandora needs a new attraction too. Or a new film for Flight of Passage or something. Because you can't do the nighttime anymore because it's a ton of work to make it glow at night and the park doesn't stay open anymore until dark. So
in the winter.
I mean, yeah.
And certain special event nights. You
know. Yeah. So I don't know.
After hours.
It's not like it used to be. So.
Right.
It was kind of almost like a failed experiment to make Animal Kingdom a nighttime park.
Yeah. They may try it again, though, one day with the... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Encanto would look great at night, I would assume, that area. So maybe they could.
You know, I thought of this the other day when we had some friends in town. I was like, I wonder how come there wasn't, especially in the Orlando area, how come none of the theme parks have thought of opening a park that's only open at night? Like it's an all night thing and like it's closed during the day. So it like gives people an option if they wanted to, say for instance, if
something
they
could do, yeah.
Right. Like if they wanted to go during the nighttime, or heck, in some cases, if they could stay up enough, go to a day park and then go to a night park.
Yeah,
there's people that would do that. I feel like there's an audience for that, to be quite honest, especially in Central Florida, because it would be a lot cooler. Yeah.
You would assume less crowded. So if it was a smaller park that.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be a huge park.
I don't know, though, but I feel like,
I think the reason, there might be concerns of attendance.
Right. But
I feel like in this day and age that there'd be enough people to do it, personally.
Every day of the year, would it be enough? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Just a thought.
It is an interesting thought, but.
Or maybe change the hours on the existing parks where maybe it's always not quite so early. Maybe it's later. I don't know. Make a park that's it opens during the day, but it's like an afternoon and stays open till like 2. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like a sleepyhead park. Like people that sleep in.
Mm.
It opens at noontime. It opens at noontime, stays open to 2 or 3 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah. They obviously know what gets the most revenue, and that's why they're sticking to the hours they're doing. So
maybe. If it's all about revenue, then yes, which it is all about revenue, obviously.
Balancing costs with the income.
Yes. All right. Well, I think we've got a jam-packed episode this week. If you would like to find more, you can at Facebook, X, and Instagram. That's all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store still, in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise there. We have a YouTube channel, which can be found where at?
On our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast at travelingwiththemouse.com. There's links to all that and more, including the link to get the Monorail and Skyliner team shirts or other stuff. There's other stuff now too, but show your support for your favorite.
Yes, I have to go on there and get my Skyliner shirt so we can have a battle, so to speak.
Right.
We're going to need to find ourselves at the park together and rather at the same time.
Yeah.
All right. So for Adam, my name is John. This has been Traveling with a Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
Not to Epic Universe.
Oh, we're going to be doing a review of Epic Universe at some point, I'm telling you.
Never.
Oh, yes, we are. As a matter of fact, I'm leaving right now. I'm going tomorrow.